This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Got a super-duper exciting show. We've got animal advocate and award-winning author, Kathy M. Finley. And Kathy's going to come on the show, talk to us a little bit about her latest book, My One-Eyed, Three-Legged Therapist: How My Cat Cleo Saved Me. So I'm really excited about learning about the book and how Cleo did the magic, and how Kathy went about writing the book. I want to pick her brain a little bit about writing styles and all that good fun stuff. So it's going to be a fun show, always animal related, so we're excited about that. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Join us now is author and animal advocate. She's an award-winning author, and her latest book is My One-Eyed, Three-Legged Therapist: How My Cat Cleo Saved Me. Of course, we're talking about author Kathy M. Finley. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, super excited. And I was excited about the book. Love the cover design. Is that your magic or someone else's?
Well, it's clip art, believe it or not, that Purdue University Press has access to. And they basically had me look through pictures of clip art. I had originally just wanted a picture of Cleo on the cover. And I kind of came across that and thought it applied. And then they did their magic by taking out the cat's eye and the left leg of the cat. So it looks like Cleo.
Yeah,
Cleo was even with one eye and three legs, she was a beautiful cat. There was a black and white picture of her in there, but she was a gorgeous cat. But I think this catches more attention, and really kind of, she was absolutely obsessed with tuna. I mean, one of the chapters in my book is tuna in the morning, tuna in the evening, tuna at supper time. And that was her. I mean, she would kill for tuna. And I thought that was funny because it had, the woman has fish in her hair.
Exactly. Yeah. To describe, we get a woman. It's very colorful. All the different colors of the rainbow. So it catches your eyes right away. And she's got on her head, as part of her head, I'm thinking she's thinking about it, just like Cleo's always thinking about tuna fish. So there's fish swimming above her head. And then we got Cleo, who's a technicolor and multicolors, every color of the rainbow as well, with the one-eyed and the three legs. So it was a really cool cover. And as you know, as an author, it's very important, you know, people, when it's sitting on the shelf, they see the binding and they pull it off the shelf and they see the cover. And if it catches their eye, then they're going to open it up and read through the pages and see what the book's all about. So I think it's always important to have a really good, fun, exciting cover that catches somebody's eye. So that being said, tell us a little bit about the book, My One-Eyed, Three-Legged Therapist, and tell us a little bit about Cleo as well.
Well, the book is, I guess, technically a memoir, as I say in the thing, but it's really, I was trying to make it more of biography of Cleo and really a story of the relationship between myself and Cleo. And so the book ties my life together and the challenges I faced. And then when Cleo came into my life at a very low point in my life, I was going through a bitter divorce after a very abusive marriage. And she came into my life. I pretty much had destroyed all my self-esteem. And I felt that, you know, as abusers do, they isolate you from your family, from your friends. I didn't feel like I had a friend in the world. I had always been close to my mother, but I mean, we were still close, but we'd grown distance because of the marriage. And essentially, I felt she came into my life at the right moment, and her self-esteem was off the charts. Her antics were, if you've read any of them in the book, she had all kinds of antics that kept me laughing. I had a stressful job. I needed that. And basically, through her trials and tribulations, and she was the runt of the litter, and she had a heart murmur when I got her, but then she developed two forms of cancer after I had her, not related. And of course, that resulted in the loss of one eye and of having three legs. I had to amputate her bad leg. It saved her life. She lived a relatively long life. And I think just through watching her, I regained my self-esteem. She picked out a new husband for me. And she basically just made me realize that, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what life throws at you. It doesn't matter if you have disabilities. You know, if you face a health scare, you know, she just faced it head on. She was going to live her life at full tilt. And she did exactly that. And that just taught me so many lessons. And I loved her so much. And I always loved animals, but she was really, really different and just made such a difference in my life. So the story of how her life and my life and how they interacted and how she helped me, I hope I helped her a little bit. I saved her life a couple of times, but, you know, it was just the relationship and the bond we developed in life.
Absolutely. Well, I love the fact that, and I'll ask you in a moment about when did you realize all this? Because on face service, when you look at like a broad stroke of the story, here you are having a challenging life, going through a lot of challenges, as you mentioned, and all of a sudden you get this cat, and then more challenges come along, but it's through the cat. So some people would say, well, wait a minute, hold on, what's going on? How in the world did this cat save her when the cat presented so many physical challenges?
Physical and fiscal.
Exactly, fiscal challenges too.
She was a birthday present to me, but turned out to be a very expensive birthday present. But when did I realize that she had helped me? I think all along, when she first had the eye cancer, and, you know, I worried, well, when she had the heart murmur, I was worried that anything that happened to her, you know, and if we had to have surgery, she would die, and I was afraid of losing her. So I think I was aware of all along when she had cancer, the eye cancer, I was so worried about losing her. And I think I knew that I needed her, even though, you know, she needed me to help her along there. I think I knew that. But I think, I'm not sure I really realized, I mean, I think I just started facing challenges and taking a different attitude toward life. And I think having more self-esteem all along, I don't think I realized totally it was her until she passed away, which is exactly when I decided to write about her. And I actually just was so distraught that she died that I just decided that I would just sit down and to remember her, I would write down my memories of her and things she did, because she did so many different things. So it was just going to be kind of a fun way of remembering her. And I thought, well, I had taken so many pictures of her that, you know, I would put a nice scrapbook together and it'll be for me. And I think when I started that, I realized, wait a minute, look at all she's done for me. The Kathy now was not the Kathy, you know, 16 years ago or 16 years before I got her. And I was just thinking, I just really have become a different person. I mean, I'm not a nasty person, but I think I faced the challenges better. I was able to build my self-esteem and my confidence up. And essentially, I realized how much she had done for me. And I also realized there were other animals earlier in my life that had done that too, but I don't think it stuck as much as it did with Cleo.
Yeah, I think there's times, you know, we get so caught up in this thing called life, that, you know, taking care of everything and make sure everything's done. It does take us a while to sit back and think about why they are here. Why are they part of our lives and what do they bring to us? We know the joy and the love while they're here, but is there a bigger picture? Is there a bigger thing that they're accomplishing, a bigger purpose for being here? And so that's why I asked the question, because sometimes you can detect these things early on, but oftentimes it's after they make their transition. You've had some time to heal and reflect and realize, well, wow, you know, this little cat with so many physical and fiscal challenges, as you put it, actually was part of your healing process, was your teacher, basically formed you into someone else. And I'm sure led you down the path that you've always wanted to go.
Exactly.
And so when Cleo came into your life, walk us through that story a little bit. Was this one of those that you were desperate to have another cat, or was it a happenstance, a show up at the doorstep? Was this, I know it was a major shift going on in your life. So what brought Cleo to your, let's say, door?
Well, I ran a national association, and I had just gotten back from a conference at a board meeting, and I had just taken this job the year before, and it involved a lot of travel, and it involved a lot of work. I was taking over this organization that had been defrauded, and they distrusted everyone. So they were a fun group to work for, but I was under a lot of stress with that. I came back from Las Vegas and didn't lose any of my money. Was tired as all get out. They had a birthday party for me out there. I came back and I decided somewhere on the trip back that I really wanted somebody to come home to. And I hadn't been able to have a cat because my ex-husband said he was allergic to cats. And I said because, not because I don't believe people have allergies, but because he married another woman with animals and cats. Mm-hmm. It was just because he knew cats meant so much to me. And I came back and I'm like, I'm going to get a cat. So I came into work, and of course, when I got into work, they decorated my office and everything, my employees. And I thought, okay, well, that's it. And then they wanted to know if I was ready for cake and a party. And I said, oh, sure. And then they bought in this little carrier with Cleo. But ironically, as I was coming back on that plane trip, I actually said that at lunch that day, I was going to go to the Humane Society and pick out a cat so I could have, you know, a pet and have some companionship. So it was kind of, you know, I wanted a cat and they brought me a cat. And I think the bigger irony, which is that the cat was the same color as the cat that I had and marked almost the same way as the cat I had as a child.
Wow.
That had done so much for me as a child. And I couldn't believe it. And I said, did I ever tell you guys that I had a cat this color? No, we just, you know, we found this, we got a free cat for you. The south side of Indianapolis. And I'm like, okay. But they got me all the accoutrements to go along with the cat, the litter box, and all the toys and stuff like that. But it was just kind of weird how that happened, that, you know, like I was ready to go to get one and they brought me one.
Yeah, you put it out to the universe, and your universe found some helpers, and wow, voila, there you go. Yeah, you manifested.
It was like this was meant to be. And then, you know, the minute I had to close the door because she was bouncing all over the wall. I was afraid she'd get out of the, you know, out onto the street from our office. And I came back, and that's one of the stories in there. I mean, my desk was a total mess. She'd taken all the paper clips out, pencils, pens, papers on the thing. And then she must have walked across the keyboard, I don't know how many times, but there were, I don't know, 40, 50 pages she had typed of gibberish, which was good because I would have really worried if it were something she could actually write as a cat, but
that would be a whole new form of AI, but it would be a cat intelligence, CI. There you go. Right. They probably could. I wouldn't put it past a cat, that's for sure.
Who knows?
That's it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Kathy M. Finley, a little bit about her book, My One-Eyed Three-Legged Therapist, How My Cat Cleo Saved Me. So everybody, hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author Kathy M. Finley about her book, My One-Eyed Three-Legged Therapist, How My Cat Cleo Saved Me. Now, Kathy, when everybody picks up a copy of the book and they read through it and read all the wonderful stories that are inside and learn a little bit more about you and Cleo, what do you hope they walk away from? Do you have a takeaway or something that you hope that the reading audience walks away from?
Well, I hope they're entertained because I think it's a story. I hope it's a good story that happens to be a true story, but a good story. So I hope they're entertained. I hope that they realize the benefits of whether it's a cat or a dog or some other pet, what they can do for us. Although I wouldn't advocate just adopting a pet to see what they can do for you. But basically, I think to just show how maybe people, how pets can help us and how maybe we should observe them a little bit more and see what we can learn from them. And maybe help us become better humans.
There you go. They are our master teachers and healers for sure. So switch gears slightly here. Let's talk about writing in general and pick your brain as far as what is your writing style and how do you go about crafting your skills here? Are you a up at 5 a.m. every morning and writing 5,000 words type of author? Or are you like me and wait till almost the deadline and then get the rest of it completed?
I think I used to be, when I started this, I was very diligent about getting up and writing right away. Now I have a different set of cats. I have two now. I did have three, but unfortunately one passed. But they kept me up early and I'm kind of running around for them. So I think on this book, I was the kind of very diligent type of person. And now I'm trying to get back into that habit because a lot of, you know, when you write a book, you're also doing some of the marketing. And so that has kind of taken away from it. So I need to set aside that time. I do my best work in the morning. And so I need to get back into that. I like, in terms of just, I don't know if you want to talk about style. I've always been a storyteller. And ask any of my friends, I'm always telling stories, maybe my detriment and they get tired of them. But I like telling a good story. So I like to, you know, weave it into a story. As to my next book, which I'm trying to get back into, it's going to be more like a lot of different stories about animals. Some of them mine, some of them other people. Just, again, kind of pet, I was going to call it pet teachers instead of teachers' pets. And just what we can learn from them. Some lessons good, some lessons bad. Oh, we can learn from animals. And, you know, I thought about different things I want to do, but I think the best you get it done right away. But I mean, some of the blogs and things, I'm working on a couple of blogs now for different sites. And I've been the latter one, like you, I've waited till the last minute to pull it together. So
that's it. And speak for myself and speak for a lot of different authors. There's usually a lot of projects going on at once, you know, whether they're short stories, like you said, or a blog that you're working on, an idea that you have, starting a book, getting some chapters written, and maybe that gets put on the shelf. I remember my first book, Wagging Tales, came out shortly thereafter, talked to the editor and had this great idea for another story I thought would be fantastic. Then I had this third idea that I'd started on, but sort of put it on the shelf because they didn't think timing was right. And so when I spoke to the editor, they said, well, yeah, that second book sounds pretty good, but do you have something more on the lines of, you know, XYZ? And I'm like, well, yes, I do. And I pulled it off the shelf, literally blew the dust off of it, if you can imagine that. It's actually on a computer, but I visualized blowing the dust off of it and said, yeah, I do have something in the works on that. And lo and behold, that became my second book. So, yeah. Yeah, I think as you're a writer and author, you know, writing for different publications and writing for different, whether it's a blog or a magazine or online magazine, whatever it may be, while you're also trying to craft your stories and your books, you tend to have a lot of different things going on at one time.
Right. And it's not, I mean, the other thing is that when you're retired, you tend to think, well, I'm not necessarily doing this for the money anymore. This is not my livelihood. So you can kind of, I'm okay. But I would say the best thing is like I writing the things, the ideas down, like you said, even if it ends up on a shelf, because you never know, you know what I mean, when you might get re-inspired or when somebody wants, you know, the time is right from that one that you kind of shelved or you hit a or had a writer's block and couldn't go any further. I think of all the ideas I had, you know, when I was working for different, not just on animals, but different things. And I'm thinking, why didn't I write those things down? Because now I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it kind of jogs your memory. And I look back at some of the things that I'm writing and I'm trying to get the second book and I kind of have a third one too. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, thankfully I wrote that down because I would have forgotten it going on to different things. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you hit it on the head, you know, nowadays, especially, you know, it's writing the book and getting it published and getting into print is one thing, but the marketing aspect of behind it and promoting it and the things you have to do, that takes usually twice as long as it did to write the book.
Right.
Well, Kathy, where can people find out more about you and what's going on and keep up with your writing?
Well, I do have a website, which I'm trying to keep up to date. A little bit more. It's pretty up to date. I've got another blog that I have to do for that. And that's kathyfinley.com. No M in it. It's kathyfinley.com. So they can keep up with that. That's probably the best way to keep up with me. I'm trying to, you know, get out to more blogs right now. I used to do one that was pretty regularly for Lola, the rescued cat, and that one's been put on hold. There's a couple that have been put on hold. So, but I just go to my website and I'm going to try to keep everybody up to date on where I'm at and where am I appearing, you know, to speak.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll post that on the site. It's kathyfinley.com and definitely take a look at the website. Keep up with what's going on with Kathy. And everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's My One-Eyed, Three-Legged Therapist. How My Cat Cleo Saved Me by Kathy Finley. Kathy, thank you so much for coming on the show. Congratulations on a great book and great stories. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again somewhere down the road.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed being on the show.
Oh, our pleasure. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas, or people you want to hear from on the shows, drop us a line. You can go to PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And so till next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.